First passage is Psalm 80, verses 8 through 16. This is the word of the Lord. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea. It shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. The root of your right hand has planted. The sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down and is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. And then from Isaiah 5, Isaiah 5, and I'll be reading the first seven verses of Isaiah 5. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel and the men of Judah, and the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. And then I'll be reading from Ezekiel chapter 19. Ezekiel 19, the verses 10 through 14. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the water. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant water. Its branches were strong, fit for a ruler's scepter. It towered high, thick, above the thick foliage, conspicuous for its height and for its many branches. But it was uprooted in fury and thrown to the ground. The east wind made it shrivel. It was stripped of its fruit. Its strong branches withered and fire consumed them. Now it is planted in the desert, in a dry and thirsty land. Fire spread from one of its main branches and consumed its fruit. No strong branch is left on it, fit for a ruler's scepter. This is a lament and is to be used as a lament. Thus the reading of God's word from the Old Testament. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John chapter 15. The Gospel of John chapter 15. And we as a congregation have been working our way through the Gospel of John, and this morning we find ourselves in chapter 15 and the first eight verses, a familiar passage to many of you. And we will be referring also to those earlier passages I read from the Old Testament as well. But let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Thus the reading of God's word as we find it in John chapter 15. All through the Gospel of John, we have been pointing out the displacement, replacement themes that we find throughout the Gospel. In John chapter 2, Jesus declared, "I will destroy the temple and raise it up in 3 days." Jesus has come to displace the old temple and the old temple system of worship and replace it with his new body, the temple that he has come to bring everlasting life. In chapter 7, in the Feast of Tabernacles, he declares the water of life in fulfillment of the water of the feast. He is the water of life, and whoever drinks of him will never thirst. Displacing the Feast of Tabernacles and the rituals concerning it, and replacing it with the worship of himself. We have also seen throughout the gospel displacement, replacement, I am statements that Jesus has made. In chapter 6, when they spoke of Moses giving them manna in the wilderness, Jesus, having fed the 5,000, declared, "I am the bread of life." At the temple, as he stood in chapter 8 before the large lampstand that, when lit at night, could shine brightly throughout the entire city of Jerusalem, Jesus stood before that lampstand and declared, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 10, he declared, "I am the good shepherd, the shepherd of Israel," in fulfillment of that shepherd, King David, who shepherded the flock, his sheep, and later God's people. There are 7 I am declarations from Jesus that we find in the Gospel of John. All 7 have a displacement, replacement theme. Something of which they once knew concerning the Old Testament is replaced by the coming of the Lord and his declaration, "I am whatever it may be." 7 of those in the Gospel of John, and this morning in chapter 15, we have come to the 7th. Jesus declares in verse 1 and later in verse 5, "I am the true vine." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Once again, Jesus is making a statement, and he is referring to himself in a displacement, replacement theme from the Old Testament. As you heard earlier in the service, throughout the Old Testament, the imagery of a vine or of a vineyard is a common Old Testament image which refers to God's people. In the Psalms and in the prophets, this image of the vineyard is used to describe the nation of Israel, the Old Testament nation of Israel that God had in the Old Testament era. But each time you may have noticed that imagery is used, and I read 3 of them, there's many more. But each time that imagery of the vineyard is used, there is a common theme that the prophets and the psalmists write about. In Psalm 80, we read how God raised up his people from the land of Egypt. He planted them in the land of Canaan. And in that land, he gave them everything that they needed. He gave them land. He gave them water. He gave them protection. He described them as a vine that had everything it needed to grow. Yet, as the psalmist writes, the enemies of God have attacked it. And the psalmist is asking in that psalm, why? In Isaiah 5, we have a similar story. Again, God describes through his prophet the nation of Israel as a vineyard that he has planted, that he has protected, that he has watered, that he has cared for. And God even asked the question through his prophet, "What more could I have done for my vineyard than what I have done for it?" Like a gardener who plants the garden and gives the plant everything that is necessary. Yet somehow there is no fruit from that plant in the garden. What more could be done? You've got water, you've got soil, you've got everything necessary to be a fruitful vine and a fruitful vineyard. But you have borne bad fruit, Isaiah writes. And because of the bad fruit, God is going to send another nation to break down the walls of protection and to destroy the vineyard. In Ezekiel 19, again, we read of the imagery of a vineyard. This time, the prophet Ezekiel is writing to the exiled people in Babylon. He is writing in the context in which there is no longer any vineyard. There is no longer any king on the throne in Judah, for there is not a nation of Judah. There is no longer a temple in the land, and the people have all been carried off to exile. And Ezekiel wrote, and I'll read those words again, "Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the water. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant water. Its branches were strong, fit for a ruler's scepter. It towered high above the thick foliage, conspicuous for its height and for its many branches. But it was uprooted in fury and thrown to the ground. The east wind made it shrivel. It was stripped of its fruit. Its strong branches withered, and fire consumed them. And now it is planted in the desert, in a dry and thirsty land. And fire spread from one of its main branches and consumed its fruit. And no strong branches left on it, fit for a ruler's scepter." The prophet Ezekiel is describing the destruction that has come upon the vineyard, the Old Testament vineyard of the Lord Almighty. That vineyard is no longer in existence. There are still remnants planted in the desert in Babylon, but there is no fruit. And now the people are wondering what happened to their vineyard. Each one of the prophets is calling God's people back to covenant faithfulness. They had the sacrificial system that God had given them for the forgiveness of sins, but they worshiped other gods. And as God's people, they were disobedient to His law, disobedient to Him. They bore bad fruit in their lives, and God destroyed their nation. But don't think that this imagery of the vineyard was limited only to the Old Testament people, and the people of Jesus' day did not think of it. This imagery of the Old Testament Israel and what it once was always on their minds. In fact, it had recently picked up momentum in their thinking in terms of what God was doing amongst them. For God had allowed them, through Herod, to build a monstrous temple to the Lord. A monstrous temple, greater than the one they had known under Solomon. And now all that they needed was for God to send His Messiah, His king like David, who would once again, according to their minds, restore that earthly vineyard that they once had in the Old Testament. They longed to have that temple. They longed to have that king like David. They wanted a king to lead their army and drive out the Romans so that once again they would have that Old Testament nation of Israel restored. And a powerful nation it was for all the world to see and to know. And now Jesus has come. And in His final words, John 15 and 16 and 17, to His disciples, in the context of the previous chapters in which he has predicted his betrayal and upcoming death, in which Judas has already gone off, the betrayer has already gone off and is making plans to betray him. In this final sermon, Jesus declares to his disciples, "I am the true vine. It's me." That Old Testament image that you have of an earthly nation, of a nation in a specific place, of which that will be declared God's people, and God's people will be born into it by their nationality. That image is displaced and replaced. I am the vine. Ego eimi is the Greek language. I am. Jesus is declaring himself fully God. I am. God is now this vine. It is not going to be an earthly kingdom. It is not going to be an Old Testament kingdom. That kingdom has been displaced and replaced by Jesus Christ himself. And this vineyard is much greater than the one you knew before. For in that Old Testament imagery, you had an earthly place. But now Jesus declares, I am the vine, and the vineyard is of heaven and earth. I go to prepare a place for you, John 14. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, John 14, verse 2. And do you want to be part of this vineyard? How are you part of this vineyard? Is it like in the Old Testament where you were born of Abraham and thus you were considered or declared part of it? Jesus has said, I am the vine. And to be part of that vine, you must abide in him. In the first part of chapter 15, Jesus uses that phrase, abide in me or abide in him, some 15 times. 9 times he uses that phrase reciprocally, meaning Jesus declares, I am in you, you are in me. Look specifically at verses 4 and 5. Remain in me and I will remain in you. There's one. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from you, you can do nothing. Again and again in these verses, Jesus is repeating that phrase, abide in me. Abide in me, I abide in you. To be part of this vineyard, to be part of this kingdom, is to be attached and engrafted into Christ. And do you see how much greater of a vineyard this one is? That Old Testament vineyard, each time as the prophets spoke against it, they knew the reason for that vineyard's collapse. The disobedience and unfaithfulness of the people. God would declare it. The prophets predicted it. Even in Ezekiel, after it was all over, he told them why. But in this vineyard, it has nothing to do with you. Our Savior is headed to the cross and he will guarantee it. Our Savior, when He dies on that cross and is raised again, our perfectly obedient Savior, our perfectly submissive Savior, will have accomplished salvation for all His people. And He will be risen and seated on high in heaven, and no one can take that away. In fact, in the first verse of our text, He declares His specific understanding of this. I am the true vine, and My Father is the gardener. Or some of your translations have the vine dresser, which I like a little bit better. What does this mean? Does this mean that the Father is greater than the Son and that somehow the Son is not equal to the Father? In chapter 14, He very carefully addressed that. He declared Himself that He and the Father are one, that they are both fully God, that we believe in one God, but in three persons. And when He declared later on in that chapter, and He said, the Father is greater than I, at the end of verse 28, He's not saying that God the Father is greater than God the Son in terms of His deity or in terms of His essence. But we think of three persons in the Godhead in terms of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And each person in the Godhead has his role. The Father is the decreer, the Son is the executor, and the Holy Spirit is the applier. And now in verse 1, as He describes the vine and the branches, He's describing the Father as the gardener. He's describing the Father, the decreer, as the gardener, as the vine dresser. And Jesus is the vine. He will go to the cross and perform His role. He will accomplish the salvation of God's people. He, in the person of the Son, will die on the cross, be risen again, and as they know Him, as they are attached to Him, their salvation will be theirs and His forever. How is this communicated? Look at verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Also, look at verse 7. If you remain in Me and My words remain in you. Jesus is speaking in terms of His word. His word. In verse 7, He speaks in terms of the words that remain in you. And He goes on at the end of the verse to say, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Those words follow up those verses from John 14 where He said, and whatever you ask in My name so that your Son may bring glory to the Father, you may ask for anything in My name and I will do it. Does it mean that when we ask God for anything because we're attached to the vine that He'll give us anything we want? The new car we want, the new house we want, whatever it will be. No. He's speaking in terms of our understanding of God's providence, God's guiding in our life. He will give us everything we need as His people according to His will. And as we live for Him, trusting in Him according to His will, asking for things according to His will, what He gives us will enable us to produce more fruit. What does that mean? Verse 8, this is to My Father's glory, that you should bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. Everything that God gives us, everything that happens in our lives, is for the Father's glory. Why did God work in our heart so we're attached to the vine? Because of the Father's glory. Why does He put us through things in our lives we don't understand, struggles, difficult times? For the Father's glory. Why can He say, these words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you? For the Father's glory, so you may bear much fruit and show that you belong to Him and are connected to the vine. It's all there, isn't it? Every part of the Christian life is laid out right there for you in these verses. What it means to know Christ. What it means in terms of what He has accomplished in His death and resurrection on the cross. What is greater than the Old Testament in that it is accomplished and that He accomplished it. And because you know Him and believe in His words, it's all yours because you are attached to Him. And even though you may have struggles or difficult times or not have or receive everything you want on this earth, God has given you everything you need for His glory to show in your life the fruit of the branch that our Savior has accomplished in becoming the vine. But you notice there's a couple verses in here I've still not mentioned. The beginning of verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Some people look at these verses and say, that means somebody can lose their salvation. You can once be attached to the vine and then cut off. But notice again verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. You see, if you are attached to the true vine, you won't help. You cannot help yourself but bear fruit. It's going to happen because you belong to that vine, because you know Christ and you live for Christ, and the fruit are going to show. But the branch Jesus is describing in verse 2 is a branch that has no fruit. And because it is a branch that has no fruit, though the person may be present in the visible church, he was never really attached to the vine because there is no fruit. And he never really belonged. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 6 reminds us that this is not another Old Testament Israel image. The fire he speaks of, the burning he speaks of, is not a temporary earthly fire that's a shadow of something else. This is the real thing. If you do not belong to that branch, if you do not belong to that vine, if you are not a branch attached to that vine, if you do not abide in Him, the eternal destruction described in verse 6 is what happens to all those who do not know Him and do not live for Him. Fire, burning, eternal judgment is what comes. Contrast that to what is said in the rest of these verses. I am the vine, ye are the branches. If you know Christ, if you listen to His word, you have no fear. You are attached to Him. You find your strength in Him. And you know that it is guaranteed, for He has accomplished it. As He is the vine, may you be His branches. May the fruit of being attached to Him. Show to the world, to the glory of God, may you abide in Him forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these verses in John 8 or John 15, how they speak to us concerning the fulfillment of the Old Testament vineyard to what we now have in our Savior. We rejoice that He has died on the cross for us and given us salvation. We rejoice that through the preaching and teaching of the Word, we have come to know this vine and that we belong to it. We ask, O God, that when pruning takes place, you would enable us to trust you and not turn against you. That, Lord, we would see you at work in our lives, causing us to change and to grow and to strengthen us so that we may bear even more fruit. Work in us, O God, that each and everything we do in our lives may be for your glory. That, Lord, through our lives, others around us who do not know you may see that we are attached to you, that we belong to a flourishing vine, and that this vine is forever. Grant us your grace, grant us your peace. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.